who is the head of the environmental team at the permanent mission of Mexico here to the UN and other organizations in Geneva, to join me here. So Miriam, you have this tool. This is a friend here to record your sound, so you can leave it here.
Okay.
And I'll let you sit here because the camera is over there. There's another camera over there, and the event is being streaming. So this event, no Chatham rules. sorry for you. And this is also a mic.
Thank you for the warning. And thank you. Well, thanks to Diana and to Catherine for the invitation. It is really an honor for me to be here. And actually, for us, it's a very, very important conversation. It's striking that it's the only plastics conversation during World Health Assembly, considering the way the negotiations are going. So while we may all be a little bit tired of discussing, it's also important that we get back on the actual conversation. So I will try. Yes. So the first thing that... Oh, my God. No. Sorry. How do I go back like this? Okay. So I am part of the team that is the negotiating team for the INC, for the International Negotiating Committee, for a legally binding instrument on plastic pollution. And across other things, what I would like to share with you is a perspective from Mexico in the sense that when we are talking about the plastics treaty, science and diplomacy need to go hand in hand. This is an environmental treaty at its core and its origin, but we all know that it goes beyond that. It affects human health, and I'm sure my successors in the microphone will speak more about that, about the actual effects on the human body and on human health of plastic pollution. And it is also a matter of international collaboration and cooperation. Mexico has been advocating for a whole plastic fly cycle in the treaty for many reasons, but today I will concentrate on the health ones because we know that from fossil fuel extraction to production, consumption, waste management, and open burning, human health and ecosystems' health are affected by plastics. So we have been meeting for over 4 years now, and despite the growing scientific evidence, which I'm sure also will be discussed later, health still does not occupy a central place in plastics negotiations. And for us, this is concerning. And here I'm not talking about whether we want an article concentrated on health, which is Article 19 right now, or if we want to do a whole of treaty, a more comprehensive approach. That is important, but that is not the core of the conversation. The core of the conversation is how are we going to manage health and how are we going to make health cross-cutting into the plastics treaty that I am sure one day we will all succeed in agreeing. For us, this is, as I said, this is absolutely crucial. And for us, the answer to this question is science. Why? Because science provides us the evidence that we need to be able to discuss this. Science already matters. We hear conversations in the context of the Plastics Treaty related to the need for science, the need for stronger monitoring systems, the need for more data, the need for more stronger scientific cooperation. And this is very important because it is a reality that many countries still face enormous technical gaps, enormous technical capacities for biomonitoring, for assessment of what they are doing, for exposure assessments, for waste management, etc. But at the same time, what our standpoint as Mexico is that while this is very important, the lack of scientific certainty cannot be a reason for political inaction. And we cannot continue to just keep talking about the need for science. We need to actually look at what we already have. If we wait for perfect certainty on every chemical, on every polymer, on every pathway of exposure, we will never, never get there. We will always arrive late. And this conversation, which is very, very current in the plastics negotiation, is not a new dilemma in environmental multilateral agreements. We have seen it and we live it in climate change, in biodiversity loss, in other types of pollution, in mercury exposure. And the history has shown us that, yes, we need to have some precaution, but we also need to have science-based policy making. And the good news is that we have some models that, I mean, with, of course, with their problems and their flaws, more or less work, as IPCC and the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change and the UNFCCC, the climate change process, that kind of one fits into the other. And the Paris Agreement has gone long enough or has actually been able to manage to indicate that we will always be basing our climate change actions, our climate action, on the latest evidence coming from IPCC. So, I mean, it doesn't say coming from IPCC, but that is actually the understanding that we all have. So we do have some ways to overcome the lack of scientific certainty in some aspects. Another point that is very important for Mexico and for countries that we are like-minded as us is the unequal impacts of plastic pollution. The plastic crisis does not affect people equally. The impacts are actually profoundly unequal. Women, children, workers, waste pickers, indigenous populations, frontline communities face disproportionate exposure and vulnerability. And this matters a lot for us for treaty design. So we advocate for concepts anchored in science, but then concepts that have a policy content like One Health, Just Transition, Inclusion, so the treaty can actually be successful. How do we go about it? You all know what happened in August, I assume, during our negotiations. We didn't manage, we had to suspend the session. So the process seems to be a little bit stuck. But for us, for Mexico, beyond the brackets, the commas, the words, the procedures, we need to keep thinking of our actual objective, which is we are really negotiating for people's health, for ecosystem conservation, for livelihoods, and for future generations. So here, our proposition is that science can help us on the way forward. Why? Because it can help us create common ground. I'm not saying that science will actually remove the politics from the negotiations, that this is not going to happen, but credible evidence can provide a shared basis for dialogue, especially in highly polarized discussions. And because we all are in this together, we are all feeling the effects in different ways. And because the health impacts are felt by every single country. So if we want a treaty that is both ambitious and implementable, we need solutions that are scientifically credible, socially fair, and politically realistic. So in a nutshell, because I think I'm almost at the end of my time, or I have gone beyond, science helps us understand the crisis. And this is very important. We need to always go back to it beyond ideologies and beyond our national positions, which are, of course, very, very important. We all have different national circumstances that we need to be sensitive to. But diplomacy determines how we respond to it. And this is an important reminder for all of us who are part of the negotiations. We are not here to negotiate text and to get really hooked on some specific phrases. We are here to negotiate outcomes that protect both people and planet. If we manage to keep health at the center of this process, the treaty has the potential to become more than an environmental agreement, and this is probably a big message that Mexico also has. It can also become an example in these times of how multilateralism can still respond meaningfully to complex global challenges. Thank you very much.